This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jason Lloyd joins us right now from the New York Times. Sounds like he's trying to put away a dead body as we talk to him. Jason, hello.
I'm going down to the basement. Is that okay?
You couldn't have went down to the basement like 2 minutes ago? You had to go to the
basement
now?
Down the stairs to get there?
What, are your steps like the old aluminum from Thurman Munson Stadium? How are your steps so that loud? I mean, my God.
They're the steps in the basement, and we just
bang,
them. We didn't
bang,
them.
Bang, bang, oh, bang, bang down good the steps God. He goes. I'm glad you don't have to take a dead body down there. Jimmy Hoffa would hear you. Lord. All right. Down to business. What's going to happen to Deshaun Watson? Go.
Oh, man, I don't think it's good. If the NFL wants a year, the NFL's going to get a year, and it looks like they really do want a year. It's only
all
out.
Right. That's lots of fun.
Wait, it's as easy as that? That's all it is?
Yeah.
So we had this whole process. We did, and I mean hours, we did days, we did months of radio about this only to get right back to the NFL. This is what they want. This is what they're going to get.
It certainly appears that way. Again, the first time going through this, no one really knew what to expect or how this was going to go. I mean, I'm the idiot that wrote, no, I don't think the NFL is going to appeal it. This is the system Roger wanted. Well, 12 hours later, the NFL appealed the decision. So, you know, his only out at this point might be a settlement. And he can sue. Just go on Twitter and look at the 15 different legal experts with legal backgrounds. I'm not using that term sarcastically, like actual attorneys can't even agree over the fact of whether or not he could file a restraining order and be on the field right away. Some say yes, some say no. So I certainly don't know the answer to that. You know, those are issues that they still have to sort out,
but I do get frustrated.
I don't think it looks good.
I get frustrated though a little bit, Jason. Like I know that the owners run the league. It's their league. And I know ultimately I'm not going to get justice out of that. But I read the article yesterday with the interview with Jerry Jones of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he was asked about all this. And it just didn't make any sense. Like, he talked around it the whole thing, and I'm going, man, like, there is nothing. There's no, not even a slap on the wrist, nothing. Meanwhile, yeah, I'm going to lose my quarterback, and it very well could be for a year.
Yeah, I think, and no one has told me this directly. This is just me trying to read the room, put some puzzle pieces together, read the tea leaves, use whatever cliche you want. I think that the Browns did do their homework on this, obviously. I think that they did try and talk to the league in terms of, okay, if we do this, what are we looking at here? Because remember, there's a lot of other teams going after him. It wasn't just the Browns. And so any of these teams could be in this position. So I do think that they sort of got one sort of vibe from the league that it was going to go one way. And if you recall back in March, there really wasn't a lot of Deshaun Watson talk. You know, even until after the grand jury no bills came back, and then the Browns make the trade, and then Watson starts becoming more and more in the news, and the HBO thing comes, and then it's everywhere. And I just think that the NFL is caving under pressure a little bit here of, you know, I do believe that they probably led the Browns to believe it was going to go one way. And now they're kind of like, yeah, you know what? Sorry about that. It's going to be a lot worse than what we initially thought.
Jason.
And so that's why it's difficult, because at first I said, you know, someone's got to get fired over this because this is a massive miscalculation. But if they thought they were doing the trade under one set of circumstances, and then the NFL changed their mind almost, I don't know how you can – I mean, no one's going to feel sorry for the Browns. They brought this on themselves. Nobody's going to feel sorry for the Browns. But I do tend to think that, you know, they made the trade believing it was going to go one way, and maybe the water shifted on them midstream.
Jason Lloyd with us on the hotline. When it comes to what they might have been surprised about, because we know it's been well chronicled why they did not reach out to any of the accusers. Tony Busby, you know, continues to talk about what the NFL did or didn't do in terms of getting a hold of him and talking to more of the accusers. Could any of this truly surprise them? Were they surprised by the HBO special? Were they surprised by any number of suits? Were they surprised by the New York Times?
I've asked that question. And here's the thing. If you're going to come out and say you did this deep investigation, you know, the most expansive, you know, whatever, however they phrased it, then nothing that has happened since the day you made the trade should have surprised you. And I don't believe that's the case. You know, I think that there probably were things in that New York Times article that they didn't know. Did they know the number was at least 66? Probably not. And some of the allegations that were in there, again, of women who weren't even suing him, so they have no financial gain in this, was a really bad look. So did they know absolutely everything? No. You know, I don't think that they did. I think things have come out since then. But at the same time, all of the allegations are about the same. So it's not like – it's not – and you know, I mean, I was posting on the station saying, if a woman comes out and says, he raped me, everything stops, this goes back to criminal court, and he's cooked. Well, that never happened, thankfully, for a variety of reasons. Thankfully, that never happened. So to that end, a lot of the allegations are the same. So it's just the number of women at that point, and the number of women is probably higher than what they initially even thought. So that's a long-winded way of answering it, I guess. But, you know, I don't think that they knew everything that they thought they knew. I think that there were things that turned up, but the things that turned up only verified what they already knew. It was just higher numbers of what they already knew. I don't think there were any cases that were worse than what they were expecting.
Well, Jason, then let's get to the bottom of some of the terminology that's been used, because there's been this big debate about how much remorse he has shown. Now, oftentimes, when any remorse is shown at all in any high-profile case, sports, anything else, a lot of times, a lot of it can just be for show, right? You know, but in this case, I haven't really seen a ton of remorse. Sue Robinson mentioned that, but yet the Haslams in their statement did talk about remorse. First of all, does it even matter to you whether he shows remorse? Because I still think, could he have settled most of the cases just a month earlier, 2 months earlier? No New York Times piece, no HBO, and maybe he could have been a little more forthcoming with investigators. Maybe they're not out to try to get him indefinitely or a year plus. So does any of that matter to you?
It mattered at his introductory press conference. I thought it was really bad. I thought he looked really, really bad at when the first time he was on the podium in March, and he was almost defiant. And I didn't do anything wrong. I have nothing to apologize for. And I thought that was a really bad look, and I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Now, he tried to clean some of that up the second time around when he met with us after OTAs, I don't even know when now, a few weeks back, a couple months back. And he tried to clean up some of his missteps from the opening press conference. And then he did say, you know, I still maintain he didn't do anything wrong, but he does feel badly about, you know, how everyone feels about this and everything. So he tried to walk that line. Ultimately, I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. That's the whole NCAA thing. We don't care what you did. Just don't lie to us about it. And you know, if he stood on in March at the podium and was more remorseful and said what he said on the practice field and said, you know, I don't think I did anything wrong, but I feel awful that people view me this way and that people think this is who I am. Would we really feel that differently today about where things stand? I don't think so. I think that's like saying, well, it's not that LeBron left, it's the way he left. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think people would still feel exactly how they do today about Deshaun, regardless of how remorseful he felt. But it was not a good look for him on the podium, that's it.
We got Jason joining us on the show. Jason Lloyd. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So what about Jimmy Garoppolo?
If it's a year, you have to do it. You have to, how do you not? Because right now you've downgraded the position. From as much as I didn't think Baker was the answer, he's better than Jacoby Brissett. So Jacoby, in the short term, fine. Like, you understand why they did what they did, and they did what they did operating under the belief it wasn't going to be a full season. But if it's a full year, I don't see how you don't go get this guy. He's obviously clearly available. No one else wants him. It's not going to cost you a ton. He's going to make you an instant playoff contender again, which you're not with Jacoby Brissett. I don't know how you can go into the season with guys like Jadeveon Clowney and Amari Cooper and with a straight face run Jacoby Brissett out there for 17 games. Like, I just don't see how you do that. You expect these guys to buy in all year long? You're going to get Odell 2.0. So, but here's where it gets tricky. And if it's like 12, okay, let's say they settle at 12. I don't know what you do at that point because Deshaun's money still counts. And I had a long conversation with Zach Jackson about this because, you know, Zach's point is, and my thing is, they've never really been really high on Jimmy G. It doesn't feel like going all the way back to well before Deshaun, because they didn't think it was much of an upgrade over Baker or whatever. Okay, well, times clearly have obviously changed, but that's still a really big number on his contract. They've got the space to take him, but they're trying to roll as much of that over into next year as possible when Deshaun's cap number becomes like $55 million. Well, if he's out for the year, Zach insists that the contract then for next year counts $10 million against the cap, and they don't have to roll as much money over. So it's no problem. You can go get Jimmy. But if it's like 12, you're really in a bad spot there because now Deshaun's cap number counts the same this year and counts the same next year. You know, it is what it is. So next year his cap number is 55. So now you do need to roll that money over. So are you better off rolling that money over into next year's cap, or do you go get Jimmy now and burn that cap money now and have far less to maneuver next year when you've got a lot more difficult decisions to make with guys? So that's where I think they could really be jammed, is if it's for some reason, if it's 12, or if it's a settlement, it's 12, or if it's anything less than a full season, I think it really puts the Browns in a difficult spot of what to do and how to approach this. And I still think you have to go get Jimmy and you have to try and win this year, but it makes the decision a lot more difficult.
Well, I said, would he pick the Browns if he were actually cut? And I don't know if he'd pick the Browns if he were actually cut, because it's not the long-term goal to have him here in Cleveland. I brought up several other places. Nobody else in this room disagreed with me. I go, how bad would you feel if we had a problem with Deshaun Watson for the entire year? And then, I mean, Pittsburgh's situation is an absolute mess. And hell, I ran it by Pony yesterday on the phone after the hatchet piece that was written about both of our shows on another website. And he actually was like, God, I don't want it to happen, but that would be something that would be a hell of an idea.
What,
I don't want that to happen. Yeah, to Pittsburgh. I wouldn't want that. I don't think anybody else would either.
Were you talking Jimmy G in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, if he were cut.
I don't think he's going there. They've got enough to sort through and worry about and figure out. And I mean, we're not there.
Well, hold on.
Kenny Pickett's their guy.
Kenny Pickett might be their guy, but I don't think it's going to be this year. And, I mean, if he's not any good, he might not be next year. I wouldn't expect that. I don't think they're going to do a sunk cost thing in Pittsburgh. I know that they're different there. But I don't think they're going to do a sunk cost thing in Pittsburgh just because they drafted the guy 20th overall. You have Mason Rudolph, who I'm sure he has a fine career in the future on OAN, but I don't think that he's really anything to write home about. And then who's the other? Oh, yeah, you got Mitch Trubisky. And you know I love Mitch Trubisky, but, I mean, hell, if you can't beat out Mason Rudolph, I don't know what we're doing here, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I have to sit down and think about that some more. But I don't think Jimmy's going to get cut. I think – I think he's going to wind up here. Frankly, if it's a year, I think they're waiting to figure out how long the suspension is going to be and if it makes sense to go get him. I think it's a perfect fit here because it gives him a year. Listen, we talked about Carolina's going to get a motivated Baker and they're going to get the best version of Baker this year. Well, the same is true with Jimmy because now he's playing for a contract and now he probably feels slighted or disrespected or whatever, although he would never say that after how it all unfolded in San Francisco. So he's got his limitations. He's got his flaws for sure. But I think, you know, whoever gets him is going to get a pretty good version of Jimmy for 1 year. And if he did have his druthers, maybe he does pick Pittsburgh over Cleveland. But, you know, I think Cleveland is an opportunity for him to come in and win right away, play right away and win right away.
I'm so curious about how much of a pivot goes down if this is really bad news. And one of the considerations is going to be what they do with Kareem Hunt or maybe D'Ernest Johnson. Obviously, the news this week about Hunt, we pretty much telegraphed it months ago that it would make sense for him to want a new contract or want to be traded. And then, lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Does their decision-making on Kareem Hunt change depending on the news with Watson?
I don't think so. Like, we talked about this yesterday. What leverage does Kareem really have? He has no leverage. He hasn't outperformed his contract. It's not like he was hurt last year. He didn't have a very good year. He was hurt. And it's not like he's far exceeded the contract. So, and he's not even a starter. He's a backup. So what leverage? I mean, negotiations are all about leverage. What leverage do you have? So I think it was a mistake from the start. I agree with the Browns for kind of, you know, telling them, yeah, okay, whatever. Get back in there. And to his credit, he did. I don't know how he thought this was going to end, but the fact he was back in Team Girls on Sunday, and now we'll see how it goes today. But I don't see it. I understand why he would want a new deal, but it's from the Browns' perspective, there's just no point in doing that right now. He's not even a starter. So I don't know. And you know, it's a little bit like David Njoku, right? When Austin Hooper signed as a free agent, Harrison Bryant is drafted and he sort of looks around and thinks there's no room for him at the table. So he goes and asks for a trade and Stefanski kind of pulled him back into the boat. And now look where David's at with the contract that he's got, you know, and frankly, it's a little bit like Baker, where Baker goes and asks for a trade and they were not going to trade him until Deshaun changed his mind. And obviously that changed everything. So I don't think the Browns are going to trade him. I don't think he's going to hold out. I think he'd be foolish if he held out because they have Nick Chubb here. So if he wants to hold out, they'll let him hold out. But I don't think it's going to come to that. And I think it's probably already blown over. And this is probably his last year here.
Thank you very much, Jason.
See you, boys.
Bye. Jason Lloyd, New York Times. Jason Lloyd, New York Times. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. 9:20 this morning. Ari Wasserman, do you have anything to take from what Jason just said to us? Because I have another thought as well.
I have a lot.
You're going to see him, but it could be much worse for fans. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.